We left off with our consideration of things this morning was about the kingdom. We talk about the family of God, the church of God. We talk about the omnipresence and the power of the Lord, and that's where we left off. The Lord is omnipresent, and we're going to pick up with that thought, continue on with a couple things. But when we take a look at the family of God, right, we'll just represent this here in a circle. Try to get it big enough. I'm sorry, I said the family of God. I meant the kingdom. Okay, so if this is the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ, kingdom of heaven, we're going to take a look about some other beings that we know exist, but we've dealt with the family of God, and if this is the kingdom of God, where's the family of God? Is the family of God out here? Okay. Good answer. Okay, so here's the family of God. And then if we talk about the church, okay, and we know that all the family of God is all those that are saved, right? Whether they're with the Lord in glory or here on the earth now. That's the family of God. We saw that in Ephesians, whether in heaven or on the earth. And we're named by the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we are His, and He is ours. He's bought us, right? If we talk about the church of the Lord, is Abraham in the family? David? Yeah, the Apostle Paul? Right? What about Adam? Is Adam in the family? Yeah. Eve? Yeah, we believe so. Yeah, what about Abel? Was Abel in the family? Yeah, the saved are in the family, right? Lot in the family? According to what Peter tells us, Lot's in the family, right? Okay, so in the family, the family of God certainly is in and under the power and dominion of the Lord, isn't it? We might have to expand the kingdom, mightn't we? All right, if we talk about the church, is the church over here outside the dominion of the Lord? No, okay, how about is the church in here? It is some, but need to go farther than that, right? Amen? Right. Because the church is made up of saved folks, isn't it? Yeah. So we'll put the church in there. Right? For the Lord's churches, and we're talking about church from the standpoint of institutional sense. Okay? I'm going to throw one at you here, and we didn't talk about it this morning. Where's Israel? Okay, yeah, yeah. See, not all the we got national Israel. That's what I was throwing at you. It's national Israel, right? Yeah. So how about this? Is Israel here? Well, yeah, Israel is here for sure. Is Israel here? Well, David was. He was part of Israel, right? But the Apostle Paul, he was. Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? Yeah, he said as much, and it was so. So we kind of have Israel like this. Black didn't work. Psych. Let me get another color. Right? Is that right? And just the size that I've drawn, don't pay any attention to the size. Now you know how well I can spell. All right? So Israel's kind of like that, right? So the question that I was am heading towards, we saw that David said that the Lord's omnipresent. He's everywhere. There's no way to escape from the Lord. All things were created by the Lord, and nothing exists that wasn't created of Him, right? It's all been created by the Lord. So is there anything beyond what the Lord Jesus Christ has created? There's not, see? Okay, so then if there's not something else, what about the aliens? Are the aliens outside the kingdom of God? Well, Brother Jim, there's no such thing as aliens. That's right. There's no other creatures or beings that the Lord's told us about. And so a safe thing for us to do is believe that there's none that exist. Okay? And I think the whole alien thing is just it's a point of distraction. If there is anything about any of that's claimed to be that is true, it's demonic activity. Okay? It's demonic activity, and in our day, it's been used just to dissuade and pull folks away from the real question: what about your soul? Not about somebody that's out there zillions of light years away that came here and planted a seed of life and then left it and going to come back and check on it and all kinds of junk like that. All that does is just pull away from the question about you, your sin, and Jesus Christ. In this greatness of the kingdom of God, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Well, I'm sorry, Job chapter 26. Let's see what Job has to say here in continuing the thought this morning. Job chapter 26, and Job's there in his grief, dealing with his friends. And it's interesting about the book of Job, and when you consider about the book of Job and consider who's speaking, you know, there are those things that his friends did say that are used in the New Testament. Did you know that? So some of what his friends said was true, but I think they're taking of what they said that was true, but then they took it and applied it to Job. That's wherein they did not speak. The Lord said of those friends that came, "You did not speak the truth concerning me." That's what God said about those friends that came and saw Job. They took it and they took things that were true and they applied them to their brother Job wrong. Some of the things they said were true. Well, here in chapter 26, Job's speaking, and so we know Job's being dealt with, Job's being brought along by the Lord and being caused to grow in this whole thing. That's what it is. The Lord's ministering in Job's life. He's being a testimony and witness to the world around him, and also the Lord is taking him and using him to be a testimony, even witness, even to Satan, you know, which is really, really something. But here, listen to what Job says in Job chapter 26, verse number 6. Let's pick it up. "Hell is naked before him," speaking of God, "and destruction hath no covering." Destruction, the annihilation of a thing, destruction, that it can't be done without the Lord. It can't be hidden from God. There's no covering for it. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place," the Lord does, "and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them." Somehow, millions of pounds of water are held in the clouds, and then at the Lord's command, it drops upon the earth. So much water that it can cause regional floods is bound up in the clouds. Can you comprehend that? I mean, we can understand some scientifically about it, but I mean, enough water to flood an area. I mean, when the creek got up here a few Mays ago, you know, there was enough water that landed in this region that came out of the sky, came out of the clouds, and it flooded this area. That's at the hand and will of God. You know, He's not a little king, is he? God's not a chump ruler, is he? But the world will make him out to be, won't they? They don't understand God. We have an attitude about God that way. We're wrong. And the way of the world and the thinking of God is wrong. "He holdeth back," verse 9, "the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways." Parts. Not all. Parts. "But how little a portion is heard of him. but the thunder of his power, who can understand? God's great. He's not little in any way. And the whole thing that mankind has done is try to take God and drag him down to our level. And it's not to be. The Lord condescends to speak to us and deal with us, but he's not puny and little like we are. He's no grasshopper, is he? And he is great and everything. At the end of the book of Job, and I encourage you to read that here sometime. You know, the last handful of chapters of the book of Job, the Lord answers Job and speaks to him. He asks him a lot of questions. Where were you when I set the foundations of the earth? And where were you when I designed this? And where were you when I did that? And go ahead, stand up and speak to me, the Lord says. We need to be bowing down before the Lord. Amen. Yeah, we do. And you know, it's wonderful that we can know to do so. So when we're talking about the kingdom, we're talking about the kingdom of the Lord. What's outside of it? Because we're talking about a king. We're talking about the domain of a king. Okay. Praise God. He saved us, put us in his family. Praise God. He's put us in his church. Praise God that the working of the Lord and what the apostle talks about to some of the Gentile churches, that he's made us to be, don't get excited, but he's made us to be spiritual Israel. And we're not a replacement for the nation of Israel, but just the continued blessing and greatness of God towards sinners. Amen? I mean, it's just good. He's a great God and a wonderful God. Matthew chapter 10, talking about how great the kingdom of God is. Matthew chapter 10, let's see what the Lord says over here. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon this earth. And he's here. They've accused him of casting out demons. Let's talk about that, okay? Let's talk about that. Where are the angels at? Where are the angels at in this mix? Angels out here? No. Angel. That's one of those tricky words. There's some that are ministering spirits of the Lord. Amen? There's some. They cast to the earth. Right? Who's in that mix too? Satan and angel? Yeah, fallen angel. The cherub that covereth, I believe in Ezekiel or Isaiah. See, many believe that Satan's out here. That his kingdom is battling the kingdom of God. And they're on par. Need the eraser. That's not true, is it? The angels are in the kingdom of God too, aren't they? The elect angels, Scripture tells us. Satan and those that fell to the earth. Is earth in the kingdom of God? But it's not the only thing he's created, is it? Remember what Isaiah and Ezekiel says about the throne room of God? Well, there's a lot going on there. Great power being magnified. And you look at the book of Revelation and those things that Brother John was allowed to see. I mean, the throne room of God shakes and smoke ascends up there and the brightness of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ is there. See, you know, the Lord has been good to us and has worked amongst mankind and that is his work, that we believe on him whom the Father has sent. That's what the Scripture says. That's the work of God. You know, but in the way that we've been created and the ability that the Lord's given us to dominate and have dominion over this earth, we've got the big head, hadn't we? But we're not the only thing in the mix. Great grace and mercy has been bestowed upon us, but we're not the only thing that the Lord's working. It's a great thing what the Lord's done for mankind and with mankind. But there are other things in the works, isn't there? Yeah, amen. And so we need to realize that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. They've accused him of casting out demons by Satan. The Lord created Satan. Why would he cast out demons by Satan's power? Satan's only got as much rope as the Lord gives him because the Lord's created all this. Right? He says here, verse number 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We talk about hell. Where's hell? Where's the lake of fire? Who's created that? Satan? God's built hell, hadn't he? That's not some other place. That's in his kingdom too, isn't it? How about the lake of fire? He built them. He didn't have Satan build them. It's not Satan's domain. It's a place prepared for Satan and his angels. That they're heading there when the Lord gets done with them, isn't he? And so the Lord says here, don't fear somebody that can just deal with your body on the earth. But fear the one that after he's dealt with your body on the earth can do something about your soul and spirit too. Need to fear and reverence him. Matthew chapter 6, here the Lord Jesus Christ. It's here within the model prayer and other places in the script, in the Gospels. The disciples inquire of the Lord to teach them to pray. Look here in chapter 6 of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, verse number 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." If we pray and we seek to say that which is flowerful and that which is nice and good for the praise of men, that's the end of it. You know, and we participate and have public prayer by the brethren in our services. It's good. I like it. I want to have it. It's great. Tell you what, brethren, when you pray, talk to the Lord. Amen. Talk to the Lord. And they are to lead us in prayer. We're to be praying too. Okay, we're to be listening to what they say. Say yes, Lord. That's right. Not out loud. I'm talking about in the heart. Yes, Lord, work there. Yes, Lord, help there. The brother mentions about a thing, and you say, and that one too, Lord. You know about that one too. Help them. Right? See, we pray together. Pray together. It's not a public prayer. It's not like a spectator sport. But we're all to, as it's said in some churches, and brethren would say, it said, call on brother so-and-so to direct our hearts. Yeah, in prayer. See that they are going to pray and lead in the way that they are led to pray, and we are to join them in prayer. Okay? Not all out loud, not all at the same time. That's not orderly, that's not decent. But that's how it's said in some churches, brother, direct our hearts to the throne of grace. Because that brother has been given the directive, or he's been called on to give the audible. And so as he prays, we are to petition the Lord with him. Okay? That's what we're talking about, and that's what they mean. Here the Lord says in verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, and they have their reward." Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do," just over and over and over, "Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary," right? For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. The Lord did say to be persistent in prayer, but not a canned prayer and a repetition of words, okay? We're making entreaty to God. Say a little prayer for me. No, pray to God for me, because God, prayer works. You know why prayer works? It's because if the Lord hears and regards our petition of Him, our prayer of Him, He's got involved and done something. It's not prayer. It's God to whom we're praying. That's what, he's the one that works, okay? We got that. We get that in Missouri all the time. And it's from Catholicism. It says, say a little prayer for me. When you think about it, say a little prayer for me. Understand, we're praying to God, and he's the one that makes a difference. Just like Brother Nikki, Sister Sandy, they offered me a cane. I said, yeah, that'd be good. That was my prayer of them, that, yeah, I'd like to take you up on borrowing the cane. See, it's a petition. It's a petition. It's seeking one to do something that we can't do. Verse 7, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, an example, the model, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Okay, is heaven outside the kingdom? Who controls what's going on there? Yeah, the Lord does, doesn't he? Yeah, so heaven is in there, right? And we refer to that as a place where the Lord is at. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Where saints go now when they die, right? Right? He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What's that mean? Thy kingdom come. Well, sure got a good start, hadn't it? Is the Lord just going to bring his kingdom and build it all in one instant? Or is the Lord going to take it and reveal what's already there to all the inhabitants that are alive on the earth? See, those folks in hell, they know about the kingdom of God and where they're at. They've got that place of suffering and torment, and they are there. That's in the realm and dominion of God, but they've been excluded from every blessing of the kingdom of God. You're here and you're not saved. You have blessing upon blessing of the common grace of God. Your eyes came open this morning and you had life. Your heart was beating. Your blood was pumping. And you were able to eat and to breathe and to think and even come to services. You're experiencing the blessing of the kingdom of God. But see, he says, what do we want? You want another president? I'm not talking anarchy here. I said, do you want another president or you want the Lord Jesus Christ to come and rule and reign? You see what I'm saying? As long as he doesn't come, may the Lord help us with the government that we have on this earth. Okay? I'm not talking about overthrowing what we have. But I tell you what, I'd rather Jesus to come and rule and reign. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom not come and be built, but thy kingdom come and be manifested. The Lord is going to come to the earth and rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And that will happen in time. And I desire for that to be, don't you? Yeah, amen. It'll be good. Now, there's things that are going to happen in between that. I understand that. And that kingdom come, that will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. Anything done here that's not the will of the Lord? And if it is so at the time of the crucifixion or near the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Satan has no more access here, that's kind of interesting if that's the case. Now is the prince of this world cast out, the Lord Jesus Christ said? That's what he said. Cast out of where? Well, we know he's on the earth. Prophecy tells he's going to be doing things on the earth. His wrath is going to be great because he knows his time is short on the earth, right? Nothing happens in heaven that's out of the way, is there? What about the earth? Well, the Lord's in the midst of being forbearing, isn't he? He's in the midst of being patient. No telling how many sins were committed against the Lord today all over the earth. But he's going to bring it to an end in time, isn't he? Yeah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Your kingdom. That's the kingdom we're to be interested in, isn't it? That kingdom. And the Lord of that kingdom, right? And we need to vote right. We need to participate in our system, the system that we have in our government. We have the privilege to vote. We need to vote. It's good stewardship to vote. Don't blow off voting. It's good stewardship to go and vote. We've been given, that's a blessing and a gift that's been given. We need to vote the way the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to vote. And be involved in the system. Use those things that are there for us to deal with any grievance or anything that is there. And an official does something not right, you know, there's things that we can pursue. We need to be involved. Okay? We've been given that gift. But our desire is for the kingdom of God to be manifested and shown, right? We have been given that in salvation and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, we learn about who's really in control, don't we? President Obama's not in control any more than the Lord allows him to be in control. Amen? Right. Because who's ultimately in control? The one that has the hand in which President Obama is in. Now, he would laugh and scorn at that. But that's the truth. And so, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And the Lord will bring it to pass. Well, the kingdom of the Lord is indeed great. When we consider about the kingdom of the Lord, another thing we want to deal with, is there any other king, you know, on par with the Lord? I written, you know, Satan. Some people think that Satan's out here and he's got a domain that's going against that. He's fighting from within, essentially. Is there any other king? You know, we know the Lord is the king of his kingdom. Is there any other king that the scripture mentions? I can't think of any. Can you? This is our enemy and our adversary. Well, what's he? Well, let's take a look at a couple things about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Is there any other king of the kingdom named in the scripture? Is there anybody that the Lord is in competition with? Isaiah chapter 9, take a look here. Remember these names of the Lord? Wow, he so fills every office and every need, doesn't he? Yeah, and every way he does so. It's just wonderful. Wonderful. Here in verse number 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, Jesus come in the flesh, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. What government? All of it. All of it. And he can handle it too, can he? And his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here he is referred to as a prince. But being in his name, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, he is preeminent, isn't he? There's nobody above him. Nobody above him. It's pleased God to make him so. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? Generation to generation, everlasting to everlasting. No end. No end, because he's eternal. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. That's something that the Lord's going to do right about in there, isn't it? And of course, the Lord was leader in his church, but the kingdom of David is here, right? Israel and the family of God. And the Lord's coming through the lineage of David, right? And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He wants to. He's after it. He's bringing it to pass. He is God Almighty. Look over here in Revelation 17. We've read this a lot here lately. As we cover these different subjects, it's so much by the words in the scripture, they speak to us of different things. You know, we take this focus on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, you know, and we take scriptures. I mean, it is with this way with me. I take a scripture and I focus on one thing, but then there's another thing that's in there that can help us and build us up and encourage us. In Revelation 17, talking about the ten horns and the revived Roman Empire and all that, the beast. Verse number 14 of Revelation 17, "These shall make war with the Lamb." Who's that? That's Jesus. "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords." You like how that's written there? Capital L of lowercase l. He's King of kings. These kings and these lords on this dirt ball know nothing about authority and power like the King of this kingdom. Amen? Right. I mean, the kings of the earth are puny compared to what God is. Amen? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. And he was a king of kings on the earth. He said, "For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Isn't that great to be here? And be related to him. Brothers and sisters, there's no greater belonging than that. You know it? There is absolutely no greater belonging than that. And chapter 19, you know this passage. Verse 11, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness, he that doth judge and make war. His eyes are of a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." Many crowns, not just one crown. "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords." And nobody's got to tell who he is when he sets his feet down on this earth again. Everybody knows who he is. "And all the kings and lords of the earth will bow the knee unto him." Is there any other king? There's not, is there? There is not. What's the closest that there is? Let's turn over here to Isaiah 14. There is this one that sought to be above God, but he could not, could he? He sought to be. Here in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." It's not his place to take over heaven, was it? He was created. He's not the creator. He was created. "I will ascend into heaven." What's he say? "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." To exalt his throne above the Father and the Son? No way, no how. No way, no how. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, to be worshipped and praised by men." Nope. That belongs to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the God Almighty, is who that belongs to. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Can't be, can it? Because there's none like the Most High. There's none like Him. There's not going to be anyone ever like Him. He is God. And beside Him, there's none other. Amen? In Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples about this one that sought to raise himself to be equal with God or like unto God. The disciples were sent out and they had power over the demons even. And we pick it up here in Luke chapter 10, verse number 17. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I think the indication is from heaven he was sent to the earth. Because of Genesis chapter 3, we see him working his mischief, don't we? He was cast to the earth. He was cast out of heaven and from that place that he was there. And Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar passage there in the front part of the chapter. It says in verse number 1, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There's no kings. But he is a prince. He is a prince. Let me read you something over here, and if you want to, you can turn over there in Isaiah chapter 14 again. In verse number 18 of Isaiah 14, it says, All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou, speaking of Satan, art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. His grave won't even receive him. As the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that's all bloody and nasty. Nobody tries to salvage that. That go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. He is the prince and the power of the air. And we know that by what the Word of God tells us. He is a prince. He has been given some kind of dominion. But you know what? He's subject to the king, isn't he? He's subject to the king. In Daniel chapter 10, we see this same thing here, and don't understand all about how that it works, but we know that the Word of God tells us about it. And here Daniel is inquired of the Lord, and it's taken 3 weeks for the answer to come to him. We see here in Daniel chapter 10, verse number 12, Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, 3 weeks before, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Is that talking about the physical prince of this earth withstanding an angel? No, it's talking about some of those fallen angels that have been given some kind of dominion or responsibility over those nations, or that are there to work wickedness and evil. And it goes on to say here in verse number 20, Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Because he's told him. Wherefore, and now will I return to fight the prince of Persia. He said, Michael came and helped him in verse number 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days in verse 13. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. So there's some kind of a princeship here with these angels that the Lord has. And he goes down here in verse 20, we come here again, and then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee?" He's explained that to him. "And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." So there's also some evil spirit working there relative to the nation of Greece. What do you think we've got today? Do we have ministering spirits of the Lord working in our leadership, or are there princes of those fallen angels that are working in our leadership? May God help us. What's the scripture say in Ephesians? We don't fight a physical fight. We fight not with flesh and blood, with principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. Amen. Right? See? Praise God, it's all in the kingdom, amen? Because when the Lord wants to put a stop to it, he puts a stop to it, or he sends an angel to put a stop to it. Satan didn't get Moses' body, as Jude tells us, did he? But he sent Michael there, and he took care of that business. You see what I'm saying? The Lord's working amongst us on this earth, but then the Lord's working other things too. And all of it's in his kingdom. Well, what's outside of his kingdom? The kingdom is coming. As we read in Matthew chapter 13, turn back over there again. And just one passage of several that we'll take a look at. And I ask the question, the kingdom is coming. In that, I believe what the Lord is saying and what is meant is that the kingdom of the Lord is being revealed more and more and more and more. We know about everything that we've written up here because of what? Word of God. He's revealed his kingdom, that much of his kingdom unto us, hadn't he? He's revealed other things to us we'll be taking a look at. He's told us about these things. And boy, that's a blessing to know about it, isn't it? And as great a power as is exhibited in some of these things, or in many of these things, that so far exceeds our ability, we know the Lord's in control. Tell you what, that's peace, isn't it? That's rest. Here in Matthew chapter 13, we read this morning. Jesus answered, sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." He said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." And you know what? The Lord is using us, Olmsted Baptist Church, sow the seed. That's talking about us. We're sowing the seed. And we pray that you that are here and not saved, that you'll hear. Yeah, and that you'll respond to that seed, that the Lord would open your eyes and open your ears that you might see and hear. The field is the world, and here we are in it, right? The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Who are they? I don't know. But it'll all be shown and manifested forth at the end, won't it? But until then, what are we to do? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. Amen? Not figure out the wheat and the tares. There's another parable here where they said, I guess this is it. They said, shall we go out and pick up the tares? The Lord said, no, you'll uproot the wheat if you do that. Wait till the end. I'll take care of it. It'll be manifested. So what are we to do? Figure out wheat and tares? No, sow the seed. Sow the seed. And you that are here and not saved, you're to hear the seed. Hear the word. And the tares are the children of the wicked one. Well, kind of akin to what we read over there in Isaiah 14. He's destroyed his land and destroyed his people. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them in a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what happens when somebody on this earth dies without the Lord Jesus Christ? They are taken to a place where those things that offend will be taken care of right there. And the Lord's laid the time in the course of this world, and people are born and people die. But you know what? That process, it's going to come to an end one day. And all things that offend will be here and there at the directive of God. How about you? Do you see yourself as a sinner in need of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell you what, if you're not saved, you need to be. You need Him and Him alone. You need rescued. You need rescued from your sin and the condemnation and the judgment of your sin that is a certainty if you die without Him. And shall cast them all, and His angels will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. The angels are going in there too, aren't they? The fallen ones. The beast, the false prophet. They're all going there, aren't they? Shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You know, one day, this is going to be burned up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, right? Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen, right? That's good. Is that going to be out here? No, it's going to be in the kingdom of the Lord. All things that offend will be here. And then with the Lord, the new heaven and new earth will be the family and the church and Israel. And the thing is this part of Israel won't be, but that part of Israel will be there, won't it? Right? Amen. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Contemplation, consideration of the kingdom of God.